Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Blog Talk Radio is with us from around the world. And you're with us from right here on the Community of Faith. We're glad to have all you that have come by tonight. And we had a great session at noon. It was a private session. Private session with Sister Kathy praying and speaking the word of God in her life and in their family's life. And so tonight, let me see if I know what I'm doing. Tonight, I told Kathy that I was going to have, well, what in the world? Everybody pause. Not like you're going anywhere. I just need another person in the inside of this studio with me. That is all there is to that. All right. And God bless Sister Leanne. God's blessing us, guys. This thing's working.
Mr. Dan.
Dan, Brother Dan. Hey, Brother Dan, good to have you with us tonight. Wherever you're calling in from tonight, we welcome you. Dan said, I'm still on earth. Well, that's good, because if you were in heaven and we weren't, somebody's got a problem somewhere.
Right.
So here's what I got for tonight. I'm really serious about this spiritual authority thing. And I want us to go right to it. This is about 2 hours long. We may stop halfway through it, only do half of it. I'm not sure yet how I'm going to make that happen. But I want to introduce Brother Terry Mize to you so you know who this man is. So I'm going to share the screen. Wait, I got to get YouTube live here. I'll make sure you have it, Phyllis. I'll send it to you in just a second as soon as we get going here. This is an introductory video to for Brother Terry Mize. Tell us about his life and ministry. And they put it out when he was celebrating his 50th year in the ministry. So we're going to start out with this, and then we'll get into the teaching for tonight on spiritual authority. Here we go.
You're a missionary. And when he spoke those words to me, it changed my life forever, because I knew that set the tone for what I would do the rest of my life. So at age 18, I got to go to the mission fields for my first time, and I went to the jungles of Panama and lived with an Indian tribe, the Choco tribe, that didn't wear clothes. We lived wildcat style, no catch, no eat. If I shot a monkey, we ate monkey. If I shot a parrot, we ate parrot. If I didn't shoot anything, we didn't eat anything. It was also in Panama where I really learned to believe God and take God at his word concerning my health, as well as a lot of other areas, because other missionaries would go through the rivers and the jungles and come back with leeches we had to scrape off with hunting knives. And I never got a leech on me, and I went in the same jungle, same river, same place as they did, and never got a leech. When I came home from Panama and then later from Mexico, I was driving in the car one day and the Spirit of God spoke to me. The Spirit of God said, I've called you to be an apostle. And I didn't know apostles, God still had apostles. He said, I've called you to be a missionary evangelist. And I didn't know what that meant. And he said, I've called you to minister to leaders around the world. My headship ministry is sick. So I knew that this was my assignment for the rest of my life, to minister to ministers. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't have a clue how to do it. I was 18. I knew I didn't have anything to say. I knew that call was not for that day. It was something I would grow into. So Jackie and I have done all kind of meetings since then, but we've always focused on ministering to ministers. Jackie and I had intended just to get married and go straight to the mission fields, but an odd thing happened. On our wedding day, I also received my draft notice. So we got married and drafted in the same day. So I served my time in the U.S. military, and in the meantime, while we were in the service, we had our first baby. And as soon as we came back from the military, and we packed up the baby and me and Jackie in the Bible, and we took off and went south to Oaxaca, Mexico. Oaxaca's not the end of the world, but it's certainly visible from there. I used to tell Jackie when we first got married that I would never stand behind a pulpit and preach. I'd never preach to crowds, and I didn't believe I ever would. I had my only strategy I had for Mexico for being a missionary was to get people saved and healed. So my strategy was I'm going to go knock on people's doors, say, is anybody sick here? They'll probably say yes, then I'm going to pray for them in the name of Jesus. They'll heal, and after get them healed, they'll get saved. And that was the only strategy that I had, the one that I started with, and here, over 40 years later, that still works today. After Jackie and I had been in Mexico for quite some time and she was expecting our second baby, the Lord began to deal with me quite strongly about, I want you to go to many nations. And I didn't understand that because all the missionaries I had ever known just went to one country, stayed there forever. And that's what I intended to do. Jackie and I intended to be a live-in, one-town missionary forever. I remember the day I was sitting in a restroom, the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, I want you to go to India. And so I knew I was going to India. I didn't know how. I didn't know when. I didn't know what. But all the time, I knew that God wanted me to minister to ministers. So we've done so many other things. Jackie and I, we pastored. We did street evangelism. We held these great crusades, which I still love to this day. We've done all kinds of ministry and all kinds of ministry areas, but always with the idea that God's called us to minister to ministers. And so after a while, after a few years of ministry, we grew into that to an area where ministers around the world wanted to hear what I had to say. And we've been doing ministers' conferences combined with crusades all these years since. A dear friend of mine, a great veteran missionary statesman, said to me many, many years ago, he said, Terry, your best bang for your missionary dollar is to have pastors' seminars in the morning and follow that with open-air crusades at night. He said, you've got the best of both worlds. You take the pastors, you train them line up on line, precept on precept on how to do the word, and then at night you take them and show them by demonstration what you taught them by precept during the day work, and they see blind eyes open, deaf ears unstopped, devils cast out, cripples walk. They see all these great miracles and God falling on these people, and then they go back and teach what we've taught and do what we've done, and it's been a tremendous strategy and a tremendous success all these years. After we had just begun in missions and ministry, I said to the Lord one day, I said, Father, I'll do this for you. I'll be a missionary. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll eat crazy things and sleep in crazy places. I'll do all this. There's only one thing I want in return. There's one thing I want out of the ministry, and that is that when I'm old, I want to see young lions around the world, men and women on fire for God that are touching nations, and somehow Jackie and I have touched them and affected their lives. And, of course, I didn't see that for a while, but now in the last couple of decades or so, we see these young lions all over the world. I tell you, the young lions are coming, and we're glad to have had a part of that. And we see these ministers now all over the world. I mean, we primarily stayed in third world nations. But to me, the more third world or developing nation or the more primitive, the better. And so India, there's young lions in India. I mean, ministers that are touching that nation and touching lives for God in Thailand, in Burma, in Southeast Asia. And when we get these young guys and young girls and teach them the word without compromise, then they're touching people and changing nations. You know, to me, it's touching these young lions and these up-and-coming ministers. That's what puts a smile on my face. That's what gets me out of bed in the morning. That's what pumps the blood through my veins like fire in my bones. If you really want to know what Terry Mize is all about, if you want to know why I eat monkey and dog and cat and rat and bugs and leave my kids and grandkids and sleep the places I sleep and go to the places I go, it's really summed up, I think, in a couple of scriptures, one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament. You've got Proverbs 31, verse 8 and 9. The NIV says it like this, speak up for those who can't speak for themselves. And I feel as a missionary and as a man of God, I've got to go and speak up for those voiceless people, those that can't speak for themselves. The atrocities and horrors I've seen around the world personally, nobody has ever known. There's no monster as great as a man without God. A man without God can devise devious ways to bring pain. And when we see these things around the world, the only thing I know that will stop that is the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. And the church has got to rise up and realize that we have a destiny to take the word of God, to take the power of God. It's my call. It's my job. It's my mandate to speak up for those that can't speak for themselves. And the second scripture in the New Testament is James 1:27 that says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, that you visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and keep yourself unspotted from the world. I don't know what's so hard about that. We need to keep ourselves straight, keep ourselves Christian, and take care of widows and orphans around the world. And I think if the church were about those two things, I think our critics wouldn't have as much ammunition today. Probably every country I've been in these 40 years, somebody's taken me to see an orphanage. And so I've been to orphanages all over the world. And I've always given to them. I've always helped them. I've always wanted to bless them. And so finally, after many years, we inherited a children's home in India. A dear friend of mine had started this home, and he passed away. And we took it, and we still have it today. I think at the current moment, we've got about 88 kids that are there in that home. And it's such a joy, delight to watch those kids grow up. We've had so many kids that are now grown, some of them in the ministries, and many of them parents, many of them grandparents, that we've been able to stay in touch with and hear from. Thank God for being able to touch kids' lives and train them and raise them up. The first time I was in Romania, the Lord began to deal with me about not only the orphans, but God just touched me about the girls, because the girls in the orphanages, the state-run orphanages in Romania, on their 18th birthday, they're kicked out of the orphanage. She that night is out on the street. She has to have some place to live. She has to have a roof over her head, food on her table, clothes on her back. And of course, she has none of that. She has no training, no schooling, no education for that. She's not prepared for that. So statistics prove that most of them either go into drug running or prostitution. And of course, I could tell horror stories about those kinds of stories in Romania, as well as other nations of the world. And so the Lord immediately dealt with me about doing something for these girls. So we bought property, a home, and from the ground up, a beautiful new home. And now we have a couple in Romania, that dear friends of ours from New Zealand, that are taking in these girls as well as ministering to the orphans. Missions is the absolute number one call of Almighty God to get the gospel to the world. It's what Jesus was about. And you know, Jesus' purpose hasn't changed. It's just that the church needs to be reminded of some of those things from time to time. If you were asking me today, what are you going to be when you grow up, Terry? I'd say a missionary. That's all I've ever wanted to be. That's all I've ever determined to be. That's all I ever will be. The only title I've ever wanted to have is to be God's delivery boy from God's bakery, giving living bread to dying men around the world.
And that, my friends, is the mighty man of God, Terry Mize. Now, there's something different about Terry Mize than most other men that I would bring to you. And that is, I know Terry myself. I have sat and ate lunch with him in Gatlinburg, Tennessee one time. Sat and talked with him many times. Talked to him on the phone. As you guys can see, Sherry's posting on a regular basis. I'm not like a personal friend to him, but I know this man, and he knows me. And ever since I met Terry, ever since I met him, his message has always been the same. Always been the same. And that is a message that you can trust. And somebody, I mean, I've known him for 25 years now. When the message never changes, then you know this is a message you can trust him. And mighty, mighty man of God, wonderful man, loving man. And in this next period of time tonight, you're going to hear many stories. This is from the Believer's Voice of Victory daily broadcast. Pastor George and him are going to kind of go through this. And you're going to hear many missionary stories and several very key principles of faith. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we open our hearts, our minds, our understanding to be led by you tonight. Instruct us, Lord, in spiritual authority. Help us see it, know it, understand it, function in it, and then in our own daily life, every day, walk in the paths of righteousness that you have designed for us to walk in and change everybody's life. Father, we bless Kathy Angaroni right now tonight as she's with Joey. We bless Joey. Thank you, Father, that you have heard our prayer and that we know we have the petition that we ask right now. Joey is free. His digestive tract is free. His whole being is free. And the peace of God manifests in his life right here, right now, tonight, in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, here we go. Spiritual authority. Whoops. Can't go yet. Gonna switch videos here.
After that, I got up and walked out of there.
Spiritual authority with Brother Terry Mize and Brother George. You're going to enjoy this. Get your pen and paper out. Every one of you, God's going to speak something to you. Whenever you have one of those moments where you're like, wow, that's it, write that thought down. Don't worry about the next one. Write that one down because that's God speaking very specifically to you. Here we go.
Hello, everybody. I'm Pastor George Pearson. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Now, I am on assignment from Brother Copeland. He specifically gave me this assignment on these next 2 weeks to talk to a man of God that you need to know all about. He's a friend of this ministry, and we've known him for many, many years. Actually, he's known him longer than I've known Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. And what a story he has to tell. This is going to be so exciting. Now, listen, before I introduce him, I've got something I want to show you. And this video clip that we're going to show you will introduce you to this man of God that, I mean, just is an inspiring story of faith alive in a person's life. So before we introduce Terry Mize, I want you to take a look at this, and we will be right back.
At age 13 at church one night, the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, "You're a missionary." When he spoke those words to me, it changed my life forever because I knew that it set the tone for what I'd do for the rest of my life. At age 18, I got to go to the mission field for the first time. I went to the jungles of Panama and lived with the Choco Indian tribe. When I came home from Panama, I was driving the car one day and the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, "I've called you to be an apostle." I didn't know that God still had apostles. He said, "I've called you to be a missionary evangelist." I didn't know what that meant. Then he said, "I've called you to minister to ministers around the world. My headship ministry is sick." Well, I knew that this was my assignment for the rest of my life, to minister to ministers. To me, it's touching these young lines and these up-and-coming young ministers that puts a smile on my face. That's what gets me out of bed in the morning and pumps blood through my veins and like fire in my bones. If you really want to know what Terry Mize is all about, if you want to know why I go eat dog and cat and rats and bugs and leave my kids and grandkids and sleep in the places I sleep and go the places I go, it's summed up in a couple of scriptures. The first one is Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9. "Speak up for those that can't speak for themselves." You know, a man without God is a monster. There's nothing more evil than a man without God. He can devise devious ways to bring pain and torture. And when we see these things around the world, the only thing that I know that will stop that is the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. The second scripture is James 1:27. "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and keep himself unspotted from the world." So it's my job, my call, it's my mandate to go and speak up for these who speak for themselves. Missions is the absolute number one call of Almighty God to get the gospel to the world. It's what Jesus was about, and Jesus' purpose hasn't changed. A missionary is all I've ever wanted to be, all I've ever determined to be, and it's all I ever will be.
Every time I see that clip, it does something to me on the inside, and I am so glad that we have Terry Mize with us for the next 2 weeks. Would you please welcome with me Dr. Terry Mize? Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory podcast.
Thank you, George. It's a delight to be here.
I am so thrilled that you are with us, and just the stories that you've told us, the things that you've experienced, I know that this is going to make a major impact in the lives of the people that are watching us.
I believe that as well.
And we are. We are so glad that you're here with us. You know, as we get into this, and there's so much that I want to cover and so much that we want to talk about, I think it would be best if we just start at the place of the call of God in your life. As a As you say, missionary, although Brother Copeland corrected you on that one time,
yes,
didn't
he? Several times.
And he really talked to you about, I mean, we're talking about a true anointing of an apostle. Mm-hmm. An apostle.
Right, we really are.
And, you know, this may be for selfish reasons, but I'm pulling on that apostolic calling myself during this time. But tell them what Brother Copeland said to you so many years ago about the difference between the missionary and the true apostle. What did he tell you?
You know, on my old original book that came out in 1978, Kenneth did the foreword for it. And in there, he put that I was an apostle. And I'm not sure I'd ever given much thought to it. He said, I knew the Lord had said that to me, but I didn't tell anybody. I just said missionary, you know. And one day, Kenneth and I were together on some television broadcast somewhere. And he said, I said something about being a missionary. And, you know, Kenneth, he used to finger, and he started poking me in the chest.
I've had that finger poking.
That's exactly right. And then he accentuates each word, you know, with a poke.
Yes,
he just backed me up to a wall, you know, and he said, boy, don't you ever let me hear you say you're a missionary. You're a blood warrior, an apostle of Almighty God. And here he went, you know. Wow. Actually, Ed Dufresne was standing there with us. And Ed supported us in the ministry monthly as missionaries, so he went straight home, and he instructed his secretary so that every time they sent me an offering every month, instead of saying Terry Mize Ministries, it said Apostle to the World,
wow.
Terry Mize. You know, and it comes to Tulsa, you know. But yeah, he's always been big on that. And then just a couple of years ago, you remember at the ministers conference, he called me up and prophesied to me and went down that same trail by the Holy Spirit.
The office of the apostle, mm-hmm. And you truly walk in that. Now you've known Kenneth and Gloria Copeland for a long time.
I met him in 1972.
In 72. And it was, where was that?
That was in Odessa, Texas. I had just gotten out of the Army. Actually, I'm still in the Army. It's about my last 6 months in.
Oh, wow.
And I had taken a leave because I'm from Midland originally.
Yes.
And so I had come back, and he was doing a meeting at a hotel downtown. And then he came back and did the Ector County Coliseum, which is a big coliseum there in Odessa. Mm-hmm. And that's where I first met. Although it wasn't a meeting by appointment, you know, I just kind of ambushed him and bushwhacked him, which he used to tell that story in the early days.
Reminded him of it last night when we were talking.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, he remembers that very well.
Yeah.
He waited for him, and he was so good to you. And
he was so gracious, you know. I just said, you're going to talk to me, you know, and he just was happy. He said, well, sure, boy, sit over here in the car and we'll talk. And so we just got in the car together and visited. And
throughout these years, we've stayed in touch with each
absolutely.
Other. We met up with you in New Zealand. Terry and I did.
That's true.
Some years ago.
That's exactly right.
And what I'd like to do, though, on this first broadcast is take us back to the call of God. Because I know that there are folks watching us right now, maybe some young people that are just either wanting to start out in ministry or they've already begun their journey in ministry. But the Lord started dealing with you at a very early age about your ministry. Tell us.
And I think he does with lots of ministries. You hear these major ministries talk about when they're just in their teens that God would talk to them. I was 13 years old, and I was at church on a Wednesday night. And I had gone down to the altar to pray. Remember when we had altars in churches, you know, and I had gone down to the altar to pray before church started.
Yeah.
And as the music began to play and church began to start, then I got up and walked back to my seat to get ready for church. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me in what I thought was an audible voice. I guess it wasn't. I looked around to see if anybody heard it, but nobody seemed to. But he just said these words, just real, real stern, real strong. He said, you're a missionary. That's all it was. And it just kind of rocked my world, because, you know, as a 13-year-old, you don't know what you're going to be when you grow up.
I guess he had to say you're a missionary, not apostle, because you probably wouldn't.
Oh, no, I wouldn't have had a clue what that was. I would not have had a clue.
Yeah.
You didn't know God's
But you knew apostle. You knew missionary.
Exactly.
You knew the term.
Exactly, of course. And so to me, it made it easier on me, because I didn't have to go through the, well, what am I going to be when I grow up? You know, it was just, I knew from the day I was 13 years old that I was going to be a missionary, and I didn't know what all that would entail. And so I just told everybody from that point. I've never said anything since then. And here it is all these years later. If you ask me what I'm going to be when I grow up, I'm going to be a missionary, you know. And hardest thing I ever had to do was go to my granddad in Odessa, who had already started a business with my name and his name on it, and wanted me to come in. And of course, they wanted me to go to certain schools, and my parents wanted me to go to schools, and I just had to go say, you know, I'm gonna be a missionary. I'm not gonna work with you. And as soon as I turn old enough to leave the house, then I'm gone. And sure enough, I did. As soon as I had my 18th birthday, I was gone.
Tell us about that. I mean, this is a very interesting story about what the Lord did with you at 18.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And take us on that journey with you when
okay.
you first
okay.
went into the ministry and your first experience.
Let me back up just a little bit
okay.
to lead up to that.
Yeah.
When the pastor came to me when I was 16 and said, Terry, I want you to be a youth leader.
Okay.
And I didn't know how to be a youth leader, didn't know anything about it, but the pastor said, do it. You just say, sure, yes, sir. And so I started being the youth leader, but it kept me in prayer because I didn't know what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And my youth group grew and grew and grew until we outgrew the pastor's Sunday morning service. I mean,
oh,
God was just blessing and blessing and blessing. But it kept me in prayer because I kept saying, Lord, I've got to talk to these kids. These kids are facing things every day. And finally one night I was really in prayer and I said, Father, I don't need a sermon. I need a lifestyle. I need something I can preach to these kids. Mm-hmm. That will they can live, that they can take to the bank,
yes.
that it,
yes.
it'll work for them. And so the Lord said, well, write this down. And so I just went and got an old piece of paper, you know, from the First National Bank in Midland, Texas, you know, and I started writing down. And he said these words. He said, you can talk like God. Well, I'd never heard anybody say that in my life.
Wow.
And so I wrote down, you can
yeah.
talk like
yeah.
God.
Yeah.
And then he just took me through what you and I today would call the word of faith message or the faith message or the word message. And he just took me right to Mark chapter 11. And went through the whole story of Jesus going to town from Bethany and speaking to the fig tree.
Yeah.
And then up in verse 22 where Jesus said, you know, have faith in God. And then he goes into 23 and said, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but believe the things he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. And I'm just reading all that, writing this stuff down. And he keyed in on that have faith in God. I looked in my margin and it said have the faith of God.
Right.
Or have the same kind of faith God has, or the same class of faith God has, or the same type of faith God has.
Right.
And so that told me a couple of things as a 16-year-old. It told me all of a sudden, there are different kinds of faith. There are different levels of faith.
Right.
And obviously there's a God kind. And the second thing it tells me is I can have it. Because Jesus wouldn't say have it if you couldn't have it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he'll never say to you, here, have this. Ha, 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 you can't have it. You know, and so he just said, have it. So I thought, man, there is a God kind, and I can't have it. Now what do I do? And the Lord said to me, he said, now turn over to Genesis 1, and I'll show you what kind of faith I have. And we went over Genesis 1, and so there he is in verse 3 and verse 6 and verse 9 and verse 14 and verse 20. It says, and God said, and it was so.
Yeah.
And then he led me from there to Joshua 10, where Joshua was being attacked by five enemy armies and five enemy kings, and they're fighting the battle, and it's getting late, and Joshua doesn't want to end the battle, so he did something totally unprecedented. He spoke to the sun, and he said, son, hold your place over Gibeon, and now moon over the valley of Ajalon. And the Bible says it stayed day for a whole other day, and he finished the battle, and killed those five enemy kings. And then the Lord just took me right on up into different scriptures, you know, where he told Moses, speak to the rock to get water out of it. And then just scripture after scripture, and then right on into the New Testament, where Jesus spoke to the wind, the wave. They obeyed him, where he spoke to dead people. You know, everybody Jesus raised from the dead, he spoke to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm,
he spoke
did.
To Lazarus after being dead 4 days, and Lazarus come forth. He spoke to Jairus, his daughter, there in Mark chapter 5, and said, took her by the hand, said, Talitha kumi, which being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And then the widow's son from Nain is here. They were coming to doing this funeral procession. Jesus and his disciples were coming this way, a procession of death meets a procession of life. And as they walked by, Jesus just said, young man, I say unto thee, arise, and he ruined the funeral. And so just everybody that he raised from the dead, he spoke to.
Funeral.
And so I'm just 16 years old reading this stuff like, you got to be kidding me. You know? And then it just went right on into, of course, back to Mark 11 again, that he spoke to the fig tree, and then he told us to speak to the mountain. And then he keyed in on that heart-mouth thing, heart-mouth, heart-mouth, heart-mouth.
Right.
And I begin to see there's a correlation there. And then over to Romans where Paul said, what saith it? The word of faith, Romans chapter 10, what saith it? The word of faith is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and thy heart, the word of faith which we preach. And then he tells us how to get saved. He says any sinner in the world, the way they get saved is they confess the word. They confess Jesus is Lord. You know, they declare that Jesus is Lord. They believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead, the heart and the mouth again. And then going on down to verse, 17, where he says, so then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word.
Right.
And the last thing he took me to was James 1:20. 126, where it says, if any man among you seems to be religious, but bridles not his own tongue, thereby deceiving his heart, his religion is in vain. Or don't let that man think he's going to receive what he's believing God for. So here I had this sermon, and I thought, look at this. Whoever knew this?
Yeah.
So, boy, on Friday night, youth night, I walked in there, and I preached all that. You can talk like
God. Oh, my
God.
Goodness.
But when I finished preaching, my pastor and the deacons and the elders and my mama and all the church folks, they said in unison, crucify him.
Oh, my.
Blasphemy. Oh. And they took me to the back room, to the pastor's office, and they just chewed me up one side and down the other. And said, how dare you say we can talk like God? What in the world are you thinking? And so, you know, being 16, I thought they were right. I thought wisdom of years should speak and gray hair should utter knowledge. So I thought, man, I missed it, and they're right, and I'm wrong. And so I apologized to the pastor, apologized to everybody else. But mostly when they all left, I went down to the altar and got on my face and stayed there all night before God. And I said, Father, I'm so sorry. I did not mean to blaspheme against you. I thought you showed me something. I'm so sorry. Forgive me. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I you know, and so so that lasted for about a year and a half. And I turned 18, and some missionaries had come through our church and said they lived in the jungles of Panama. And I went up to them and said, hey, God's called me to the mission field since I was 13, but I couldn't go. Mom and Dad wouldn't let me go at 13, 14, 15, 16, or 17, but I'm turning 18 in February.
You're gone.
So if I can come with you. And they said, sure. They said, be at this certain spot in Panama City, Panama, on May the 1st. And I'd still senior in high school, so I quit school to go back later and finish to make my happy, you know. But I just left just a month before my graduation and went down to Panama and lived with this jungle, this Indian tribe in Panama. And while I was in Panama, I got so sick, George. I got so sick. And, of course, the church told me I was going to die. The missionaries told me I was going to die. The church said, you're going to be poor. And the missionaries told me I'd be poor. I wish I had saved a letter I got from those precious missionaries. It was a classic because before I joined them, they sent me this letter.
Yeah.
And it was so bad.
Oh.
And it was, you know, you're going to be sick and you're going to die and you're going to be poor and it's going to be awful and it's going to be. And they were trying to prepare me, you know, for the mission field. And, of course, that all agreed with what the church said. None of it agreed with what the Bible said, but it agreed with what
exactly.
the church said.
Yeah.
And so as soon as I got there, I did. I got sick. I actually stepped out of the canoe the first day we arrived at the village and stepped on a rock and cut my foot. And that never healed in the 3 months that I was there. And then going out in the jungle and cutting down trees to build them a house because they didn't have a house. So we built them a hut up on stilts with a thatch roof. We built that from ground up. So we're going in the jungle, cutting down trees, using machetes, using axes and saws. And so I'd get scrapes and cuts all over my body, and they'd just never heal. And then the bugs, the insects would get in them. You know, you're in the tropics, you're in the jungle.
Right.
And so they'd get in them and set up housekeeping and have babies. And so I got infected. And besides that, I ended up having dysentery for 3 months. And it was just, it was bad. It was really bad. I went down there weighing 182 pounds, came home weighing 130. And just my jaws were sunk in and my, you know, my eyes were set back in my head. You can see on that little video we showed just a while ago, I was just a skinny little kid. In fact, that one video, I actually was holding my pants up because the, you know, the same clothes I had on when I went down there, no place to buy new ones. And so I'd lost so much weight. And one day I was lying in my hammock, so sick. I tried to go down the river and minister to some of the Indian tribe. And I tried to saddle up a horse to do it. And when I put the saddle on him and pulled the cinch strap tight, I passed out for the first time in my life. First time in my life, I fainted, you know, and I woke up on the ground just looking with the horse staring me in the face, you know, And so I put the horse away, got back up in my hammock, just weak, 18 years old, just weak as water. And the missionary came up to me in a day or two, and he said, Terry, he said, son, I'm really concerned about you. I'm very worried about you. And boy, his brow was furrowed, you know, and he had this serious look. And he said, I don't know what to do for you. He said, you've got yellow fever. He said, I've seen that so much down here. He said, your eyes are jaundiced, your skin's jaundiced. He said, you know, you get that from the mosquitoes and stuff. And he said, he said, that's a deadly thing down here. And he said, you can't get to the doctor. He said, it'd take 7 hours to put you in the canoe to get you to the first village where we'd get across another river to the first truck on the first road to get you 50 miles into town to the first doctor. And he said, you're too weak to make the trip. And he said, and you've got these sores all over your body because everywhere I'd gotten cut it was now a sore, bleeding pus and blood. I mean, I was a nasty looking critter at 18, and here I lived with all my heart. I'm 18 years old, 3,000 miles away from home, you know. And he says I'm dying, and so I said to him, I said I've got yellow fever. And he said, well, yeah. I said, that's not the worst of your problems. He said, you know, you're not eating because of the dysentery and that sort of thing. He said, you're not eating anything. He said, you've even stopped drinking water.
And he said, you can't, like, you've got to drink water, because everything I took, I'd throw up. Everything I took, I just couldn't keep it down. But I remember keying in on that word yellow fever, because I thought that's a name. That's a disease. That's something I can fight.
Yep.
And I sat about halfway up in my hammock, and I said to him, I said, well, if it's just a disease, I know what to do about that. I said, the Bible says, lay hands on the sick in the name of Jesus, and he shall recover.
Yep.
And I said, here's the hands, I held up my hands. And I said, here's the sick, and I put them on me. And I said, in Jesus' name, I shall recover. And so I didn't have an instant miracle, but I began from that day to take a little water, a little rice, the next day a little water, a little rice, and gain some strength. And when I came back home, it came time for my visa to be renewed, and I went back home. It's only going to be home for 2 weeks, then go right back to the mission fields. And the church, you know, said, oh, Terry did good. You know, he almost died for Jesus, and, you know, and they all clapped. And I was engaged to Jackie, who you knew, and she didn't know if she wanted to marry me or not. And I didn't blame her. I was a nasty-looking critter. I'm not sure the United States will let you back in the country now looking like I did back in 1968. But anyway, I said to her, I don't understand this. I said, the church says I did good. The pastor says I did good. But I don't feel like I did good. I said, it seems to me I could have helped more people if I hadn't been so sick. I was so sick, I couldn't help the very tribe I was trying to help. That doesn't make sense. I said, why would God kill missionaries? That makes no sense. No general would kill his troops. Yeah. That's just not good military strategy. And I said, you know, I believe that God showed me something a couple of years ago. I said, do you remember when I got in trouble? She said, oh, yeah, I remember when you got in trouble. And I said, I'm not so sure now that God didn't show me something. So I went before God and said, you're going to have to talk to me. And he gave me five scriptures that changed my life. I know we're short on time. I better hush. We'll pick it up tomorrow or something.
Yeah, we need to know what those five scriptures are.
Absolutely.
And then I also want you to tell about the when you were down there and went into that bar.
Oh, sure.
And that just so, wow. So I'm telling you, this story has a major happy ending.
Yeah, I'm still here.
You're still here. You're still here. And I am so thrilled about what we're talking about. We have Terry Mize here, who has traveled the world as an apostle of God and sharing some amazing stories with us about what life is like out there in the field. So, Terry, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with us on the broadcast.
I'm honored. Thanks a lot.
So let's pick up from yesterday. If you haven't watched the broadcast, they can go back to the archive on kcm.org. We've got all of these broadcasts archived. You can also get the notes. The notes of these broadcasts are available to you.
Wow.
And I want to let you know, Terry Mize has a book that he would like to give to you. It's called God's Opinion of You. I like that title. God's Opinion of You. So you can go to the website, order this, and we'll be glad to send that to you. We talked yesterday about your early days, being 13 years old, the call of God, and then 18, going to Panama,
right,
and what all took place in Panama. You ended yesterday's broadcast talking about returning from Panama, but I want you to go back to Panama for a moment.
Okay.
You told us a story in church, or it was in chapel, actually. You told us a story about day one on the mission field.
Yes, sir.
Come on, give me that story.
Yes, sir. Yeah, you know, I said, when you have the first days like that, then it didn't matter what the rest of the days are like. I was 18. I arrived in Panama. I met the missionaries that I was going to be with. It's my first trip, you know. And so we got off down as far as the road would go, and had to spend the night on the swollen banks of a river because it was overflowing. So we had to wait till the next day to cross it. I slept on the hood of their pickup. And the next day we got over into the last road as far as the Pan American Highway went in those days, 1968. And so we were trying to hire a tribal person that would take us upriver. We had to go 7 hours upriver. And that didn't happen for 3 days. We were just stuck there trying to hire somebody and trying to find somebody that would make that trip. And so we just had to sleep in a storeroom of a bar. It didn't have any walls, just had a thatched roof and a cement floor. So we just slept on the cement and used a bag of rice.
You just changed my image of the bar, that the thatched roof and no walls. Okay,
right.
I'm with you
the
now.
The bar had walls, but the storage room didn't.
That was just
supplies
out there. Okay.
And so I just, you know, I'm just green as a gourd. I don't know anything, and I'm there in my first day in the mission field. And so I just thought, well, I need to win some people to Jesus. I'm a missionary. I already get busy. And I figured, well, you know, here's a bar. There's probably sinners in the bar, so I'll just go in here and preach. And so I walked into this bar and just
walked up to the bar itself and turned around, leaned up against it, and just began to preach about Jesus in Spanish. I had taken 5 years of Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
When the Lord said at 13, you're called to the mission field, I started studying Spanish right then. And so I started preaching, and to the best of my limited ability. And everybody was not paying attention. You know, they're just drinking and doing their thing, and I'm preaching. But back at the left-hand side, my left, there was at the back of the room, which would have been the front of the bar, mm-hmm. there was three men sitting at a table drinking, and these guys were rough-looking guys. Man, I looked at this one guy, and I thought, I know, that's the toughest guy I've ever seen. And he had on a purple beret. He had on a military shirt with the sleeves cut out. He had scars, and he had muscles on his muscles, and he had military pants, these combat boots with his boots bloused, a .45 automatic pistol on one side and a machete on the other side. And he didn't like me all of a sudden. And so he yelled at me and told me to shut up. Well, I just kept preaching, and he told me to shut up, and I kept preaching. And then he said this. He said, I'm a Muslim. And Allah is God, and Muhammad's his prophet. And so I said, well, Jehovah is God, and Jesus is his son and his Lord. Well, you know, I just kept preaching, and then he made this big show of getting up. He slammed his hands down on the table, you know, and he scooted his chair back on that concrete floor, and it screeched, and everybody looked around thinking, oh, this is going to be good. You know, this kid's about to get whipped. And so he and his three buddies, they all got up and walked up to where I was.
Yeah.
And he said, I told you to shut up. I told you to quit talking about the name of Jesus. And he repeated that he's a Muslim and Allah is God and so on. And so everybody's looking around. Everybody's watching this, and they're all smiling, you know, waiting to see the show. And I said, everybody listen to me. Look up here. I said, this gentleman says that he's a Muslim and that Allah is God and that Muhammad's his prophet. Right. I say that Jehovah is God and that Jesus is Lord. So right here in this bar, we're going to prove it. And boy, that got everybody's attention. And the guy said, well, how are we going to do that? And I said, what we're going to do is I want everybody to leave and go out in the village and get sick people. And don't get people with a headache or a stomach ache. Get people that are blind, that are deaf, that are crippled, that are demon-possessed, that are out of their mind.
Yeah.
Bring people in here that are impossible cases.
Yeah.
And I said, and this gentleman and his friends are going to pray for them in the name of Muhammad. And I said, they can pray as long as they want. And I said, and if Muhammad heals them, then we'll say that he's God, and I'll convert to Islam, and I'll renounce Jesus. I said, but that's not going to happen. Muhammad can't heal. And I said, so when nothing happens and they get through, then I'm going to pray for the people in the name of Jesus, and they will get healed. And when that happens, this man and his new friends are going to convert to Christianity and accept Jesus as Lord. So that's my first day in the mission field. That's my first day.
Day one.
Now,
you're pulling Elijah and the prophets of Baal. I mean,
it was like what I was going to do when I came up there. That's just what came out of my mouth.
My goodness, Terry.
Which, again, everything goes back to spiritual authority, doesn't it?
It does. It certainly does. So what happened?
Well, he just said, no, we're not going to do that. Go ahead. Do what you want to do. And he went back and sat down and continued drinking.
He didn't take the challenge.
And so nobody went out and did it. But, you know, wow. I wish they had. That
would have been a good story.
Kept me from getting whipped.
Well, that's true. That's true. Well, then you came back from Panama,
mm-hmm.
and you were talking about just reviewing your time there and what happened.
Right.
And the Lord gave you five scriptures to
tell
you about.
Right. I just thought this can't be right. The way I just did this doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
It just seems like I could have helped more people if I hadn't been so sick. Yeah. And it doesn't seem like God would kill his missionaries. That's not military strategy for a general to kill his troops. And so I just said to the Lord, I said, I'm going to go in a room and lock myself up. I'm only going to be home 2 weeks. If it takes a whole 2 weeks, then I'm going to be in the room the whole 2 weeks. And I said, you're going to talk to me. I'm going to hear from God. When I come out of there, I'm going to know. And I said to Jackie, to my fiance, I said, I'm going to go in here and lock myself up. And I said, when I come out, I'm going to know how I'm going to live the rest of my life. And if we get married, how we're going to live the rest of our lives. And so I went in the room and just locked myself up and got my Bible out. And I said, Father, you've got to talk to me.
Right.
And it's as though he said to me, I've been waiting for you to ask. And I mean, he had no hesitation. And he said, and it's kind of a stern voice. You've had the Lord talk to you sometimes in a stern voice. And he talked to me in a stern voice. And he said this. He said, turn to Romans 12:2. And I said to the Lord, I mean, I'm a teenager, you know. And so I just said to the Lord, well, I know what that says. It says, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. And the Lord said, I said, turn there. So I said, yes,
turn there.
So I turned there. And I went to Romans 12:2, and I actually read it to the Lord. And I said, that it says just what I said. It said, but what's your point? And the Lord said, my point is, you've got to change your thinking. And it kind of offended me, George. I've been saved since I'm 6 years old. You know, I've been raised in the church. You know, I've been the youth leader, filled with the Holy Spirit, never gone out and lived in sin, did my best to serve God all my life. And here the Lord's telling me to change my thinking.
Change your
thinking. You know, and you know, I was one of those little kids in church. I won all the games in church. I knew all the scriptures.
Yeah,
I mean, I loved church. I knew what the church thought. I knew what the church said, but I didn't know what the Bible said.
Wow.
I could tell you what the church said, but I didn't know everything the Bible said. I knew some of what the Bible said.
Yeah.
And so I said, there's nothing wrong with my thinking. And the Lord said, you've got, this first time I heard this phrase, he said, you've got stinking thinking. And I said, Lord, that says don't be conformed to the world. I don't think like the world. I think like the church. The Lord said, that's exactly right. He said, you think like the church, and you've got to change your thinking to think like me. And that was one of those epiphany, aha moments, George, where I knew that I knew the instant he said it, I knew that's truth. That's truth. I didn't understand it, but I knew it was truth. And I said, Lord, you're right. I'm sorry. I think like the church. I will go back into the Word, and we called it the Bible back in those days, not the Word. You know, I'll go back into the Bible, and I will revamp my thinking to agree with what you said.
Right.
And then the second scripture he gave me, he said, now turn to Joshua chapter 1. Of course, we all know Joshua 1:8 now, but back then I had never heard it before, 1968. And so I went to Joshua 1:8. You know, and the Lord said this to me. He said, I told Joshua to do three things.
Yep.
And if he would do those three things, he would prosper and be successful. And if you'll do those three things, you'll be prosperous and successful. And anyone else that'll do those three things will be prosperous and successful. And, George, I don't think I'd ever heard the words prosperous and successful in church at that point in 1968. I don't think those words were ever mentioned.
Right.
And I thought, especially as a missionary, you got to be kidding me. A missionary is going to be prosperous.
Yep.
A missionary is going to be successful.
Yep.
And so I went to Joshua 1:8. And, God told Joshua to think like God, talk like God, and act like God. He said, don't let the book of the law depart from out of your mouth or talk like God, but to meditate therein day and night or think like God, and that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein, and so act like God, and then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success.
Yes, yes.
And I remember saying to the Lord, you've got to be kidding me. Could it possibly be that simple? And the Lord said, simple yes, easy no. He said, you've got to change your thinking and change your speaking, but it is just that simple. And it revolutionized my life. It absolutely revolutionized my life.
Wow.
And so the third scripture he gave me was Jeremiah 1:12. God hastens his word, or God watches over his word to perform it. So what I begin to realize is every one of these scriptures he gave me, they were about him taking stock in his word, what God thought about his word. And I realized all of a sudden, you know, if I can get in the Bible and find it in the Bible, I can make it happen.
Sure.
If God said it, I can make it happen.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it took the mystery out. Because in church all my life, I've been raised, you never know what God's going to do. And all of a sudden, I thought, now I can know what God's going to do.
Yeah.
And it took the maybe out of it. It took the guesswork out of it. And so the next scripture he gave me was Psalms 138, verse 2, where it says, God's exalted his word even higher than his name. And I realized that God would have to deny his name if he broke his word. And in the last scripture, and of course all these are familiar to your audience. I mean, these are like the crux of what we'd call the Word of Faith message all these years later. But the last one was Proverbs 4, and starting at verse 20 to 21, 22. He said, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sin. Those early days, I'd just grab my ear like this and say, get your ear into the words and sayings of God. You know, let them not depart from your eyes. And in the early days, I'd do the same thing. I'd say, oh God, I'm just going to get my face in the Word of God. And, incline your ear to my sayings. Let it not depart from your eyes. Guard them in the midst of your heart. For they, verse 22, they are life. They are life to those that find them, and health or medicine to their flesh. So the instant he gave me that last scripture, he said this to me. He said, your church people, your pastor, your mama, those are all good people. They're all good Christians. He said, but they haven't found the word in every area. They know some word. And I thought, well, that's right. They do know some word. I know those people. They're good people, and they know some word. You know, they certainly knew the thou shalt not, you know.
Yep.
But they hadn't found it in various areas of their life. They, not like you and I do when we got a situation over here, so we go find the word to fit it. We go to the word and say, okay, what's the answer to this situation?
Yeah.
You know, they just knew a general overall knowledge of the word, and they're good people and love God.
Oh, my goodness.
They do know some word. I know those people. They're good people, and they know some word. You know, they certainly knew the thou shalt nots, you know.
Yep.
But they didn't. They hadn't found it in various areas of their life. Not you and I do when we got a situation over here, so we go find the word to fit
yes.
it. We go to the word
yes.
and say, okay,
yes.
what's the answer to this situation?
Yeah.
You know, they just knew a general overall knowledge of the word, and they're good people and love God. But the instant he said that to me, that's one of those things I knew was truth. I thought, that's exactly right. Because I know those people. They're good people. They do know the Bible to a degree.
Mm.
But they hadn't found it, so it would be life to them in every area.
So the Lord is really unraveling this to you. You're not hearing it from anyone in particular.
No, not at all.
Except from him.
Except to the Lord, yep.
And was really setting you up for the teachings that you'd receive in the Word of Faith.
Absolutely. And so I got up and walked out of there, and I said to Jackie, I said, I got it. I said, I've got it. I know how I'm going to live. I know what we're going to do. I know what's going to happen. I said, I'm going to go back to the mission fields. I'm not going to be sick anymore. I said, we're going to get married. We'll go to the mission fields. We're not going to be sick. We're not going to be. In fact, it was a joke between the two of us when we just started talking about getting married.
Mm-hmm.
Then she started talking about wanting to pick out her China pattern. And I said, China? Missionaries don't have China. Missionaries go to China and preach, but they don't have
yeah.
China. We're supposed to be poor. But when I walked out of that room, I said, pick out your China
pick
pattern.
Out your
you
China.
You can have all the China you want.
That's great. It
didn't make any difference. And so from that point,
yeah.
we embraced it, and well, the rest is history. We live by it all these years all over the world.
So you really did. You came back from that trip to Panama. The Lord gave you these scriptures,
absolutely.
Stood on them ever since.
So you can imagine how I felt when I heard Brother Hagin the first time and Kenneth Copeland the first
it's
time.
It's all.
I mean, it's like.
Yeah. It's a
somebody
witness.
Really believes this.
You must have been thrilled when you started hearing that.
Oh, I was. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh,
it was
man.
Just like water. I mean, just this. It's like. In fact, I remember one meeting I took Jackie to of Kenneth's, and she looked around and started crying. And there wasn't a big crowd in those days, you know. But she looked around, several hundred people, and she looked around and just started crying. And I said, what's wrong? And she said, I'm just thankful that that you're not the only one on the planet that believes this stuff. There's other people that believe this, too.
Mm-hmm.
But it was life, you know, and just little by little. And then hearing Brother Hagin, hearing Brother Copeland,
yeah.
it was just, yeah, it was great. I mean, we took books and tapes to the mission fields with us and just ate them, just devoured them, you know, because that's what kept us alive and made us successful. That's why when Brother Copeland started telling my stories at an early age,
yeah.
He had said to me one day, he said, Jerry, he said, you know, I love your story. He said, because you're doing what we're preaching. He said, what Brother Hagin's preaching, what I'm preaching. He said, you're actually doing, we're getting testimonies back of you're doing what we're preaching.
A doer of the word.
It was just, a successful missionary, you know,
a blessed
missionary.
Take a few moments and just talk to the people directly about the importance of putting the Word of God first place in their lives. I mean, just talk to them about.
Absolutely. I mean, when we've got a book that's absolute truth, Jesus said, Father, thy word is truth. And there's a vast difference between something being truth and then something being truth. It may be true the devil's picking on you. It may be true that you've got a sickle or a problem. That may be true. It may be true you've gotten a diagnosis or prognosis from a doctor that's not so good, or an ultimatum or a declaration from a family member or an employer or the government. Those things all may be true. That may just be facts. But we can go into the truth, George.
Yes.
We can go into the truth and take the truth and slap it up against those things that are just simply true and change them where they're no longer true. Slap them up against that thing that's a fact, and so it's no longer a fact, because truth always trumps truth. The only thing that can change facts is truth. So we
say that again. Truth always
trumps truth, and truth is the only thing that can change facts, because it may be a fact, it
yep.
may be true,
yep.
but this will change it. This will knock that thing out of the way and take its own ascendancy. When we just go into the Word and say, God said it. You know, in the old days, you know, we used to say, God said it, I believe it, that settles it.
Yeah.
And we should still be saying that. You know?
Yeah. And you, ever since that time, I mean, you've held crusades. You've gone, you've literally gone all over the world.
Absolutely.
You've been to India, to Europe.
Sure.
China.
Sure. Southeast Asia, Africa.
You've taken this message right here.
Oh, absolutely.
And it works there, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It absolutely
isn't
works
that,
there.
Isn't that a fallacy, really, that people who go on the field
terrible
don't
fallacy.
Think that, I mean, they see people so poor Absolutely. That they think to themselves, how could a message of prosperity work here? Were you ever challenged with that, or did you
constantly? I used to do pastors' conferences around the world, still do, but in those days, I mean, pastors would stand up and challenge me from the floor. And of course, I was much younger.
Oh,
you
really?
Know, it helps to get gray hair, you know. But back in those days, you know, those pastors that had gray hair, and I was just a kid, they'd stand up and challenge me, you know, with it, and I'd have to tell them, you know, take them through the Word. And it had changed their mind. I said, this is not, because it's American gospel. It's not the American gospel. I used to say, you know, this is not a West book. This is an Eastern religion. It came out of Israel. You know, it didn't come out of America. When Jesus comes back, he's coming to Jerusalem. He's not coming to Tulsa or Dallas or Fort Worth. You know, this book didn't come from the West. But we've embraced it. You know, the only difference, I've always said this, the only difference between why America is the way it is and Russia and China and that is like they are, is that when Paul left on his missionary journeys, he went west instead of east.
Hmm.
That's the difference. Had he gone east, Russia and China would have been like we are today, and we'd be like they are, but he went west, and we got the gospel.
Wow.
It's the God. You know, you can preach prosperity and healing and blessings from this book.
Yes.
Or you can just take a world map and lay it out here and preach prosperity and healing and blessing. Because you can say, wherever the gospel's gone, there's healing and prosperity and blessing. Yeah. Where the gospel hasn't gone, there's not.
So it works anywhere.
Absolutely.
Anytime.
Absolutely.
For anyone.
Absolutely.
That will take it, stand on it,
man,
walk
woman,
it out
boy,
to victory.
Absolutely.
It'll happen anywhere. I like what Brother Copeland has done through the years. Somebody will tell him, well, you can't have a meeting there.
Sure. Oh, been told.
Oh, that
many
place
times.
Is just so cold. You can't do anything there. And I remember him talking about looking at Gloria, and Gloria's like, I know where we're going next.
Exactly. Exactly.
We're going to go take this word in there. And that's what you've done every place you've gone
to. Every place.
It's not just an American gospel.
No, it's not. It's absolutely not. I know a lot of Americans it doesn't work for. It works for those who work it.
Yes.
The word works for those who work it. It's not like
the
a
word
like
works
a,
for those who
exactly.
work it.
Exactly. You know, Gloria said to me one time years ago, she called me and talked to me one day at home, and she said, Kenneth and I have just been through a thing, and we've come out victorious. And so we were thanking God for that because we were praying.
Yeah.
And she said this statement. She said, Kenneth and I learned that faith still works, but you still have to work faith. And I thought that was a powerful, powerful
Now,
statement.
You mentioned that instance, and that was when we were $6 million behind, and I was executive director.
Somebody
didn't admire me, but we had gone on television, daily television, and it was catching up pretty quick. It's $2 million a month for daily television.
Wow.
And when we discovered that, we endeavored to stay in that place of faith, stand on the word together. I took our staff. During the month of December of 1989, that's when we were at the height of the deficit.
Wow.
Every day we would go into the atrium in the administrative building, and we would just praise God and release
praise
our
God.
Faith and declare that we are free from that.
Right,
well,
in the middle of the crisis.
Yeah, in the middle of it, right? And that's when you have to do it, in the middle of the crisis. So we did that, and when we crossed over into the new year, And they told us the plan or the accounting plan was it'll take 18 months to 2 years or more to catch up on all of this. We crossed over into the new year of 1990, and the money started coming in. And by May of that year, all of our accounts payables were paid up. And by July of that year, 6 months from that December when we were praising God, every bill was paid. The TV bill was cleared.
Praise
that $6 million deficit wiped out. So what you're saying is the word of God will work anywhere.
Absolutely.
And with anyone
Absolutely.
That will put it to work,
yes.
that will demand it to work.
Yes,
I mean, that's
yes,
what God
yes.
is looking
yeah,
for.
Sure.
So, Father, we pray right now for every
yes.
person who is watching Thank us, you. Whatever you need, whatever needs to happen in your
yes,
life,
Jesus.
Take the word of God, stand on it, walk it out to victory, and you will see the magnificent victory
Amen.
Of God
Amen.
In your life.
Yes, amen.
You know, just sitting here and talking to you, and you've been with us here the last couple of days. You did church and then did chapel for us.
All right, now, I want to pause for about 5 minutes before we start the next one. Somebody give me a thought that you wrote down. Type it in or speak it. You guys at Zoom can speak it. Somebody give me a thought you wrote down. Doesn't matter what it is. There's none of them that are right or wrong, but somebody give me something that you wrote down that was powerful to you from what he just said. Go ahead, Sunday.
I put down put the word of the Lord or God first in your life.
Amen.
And the second one was heart and the mouth. Those are the two things I wrote down. That's it. But that's what struck out to me.
Yeah. Got to believe it in your heart.
Oh, yeah.
And speak it with your mouth.
Yep.
And speak it with your mouth. And he's going to talk about that in this next session. Because he's going to tell the story of that Mexican hitchhiker putting that pistol in his chest and pulling the trigger five times in his chest. He's getting ready to tell that story. But what Sunday just said, he's had the word in his mouth and in his heart. And the whole time that guy's pointing that gun at him, he's speaking the word of God. That's a powerful verse, Sunday. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? How about our Facebook friends? Anybody on Facebook? I can't tell if anybody's even over there. This is what we know, all of you that's out there on Facebook. God's blessing the socks off you. And so if you got a thought, kick it in there, and it'll be a blessing. If not, and you're enjoying this, call somebody and get them hooked up. I got the links in here for Blog Talk Radio, for YouTube Live. I don't have the video in there for YouTube Live. Thought I did. I got it on there now. So that says Facebook. What in the world? Let's try that again. You watched this three times today already? Sister Phyllis is going to come on in a few minutes and preach Terry's message for him. Amen. That's awesome, Phyllis. Love you. There you go. Now we got it. I still have Blog Talk Radio. Well, I'll get it in there for you so that you can have it. Here we go. Let's go one more session at least. They're about 20 minutes long. And we'll stop and talk after that, receive communion, and save some for the next night. Here we go. Let's see. Spiritual authority. 42:14, 42:18. There we go. Go for it, brother. Whoops, we got to share this.
Talk with each other, and I just have such an appreciation for the ministry that God has given you, the apostolic ministry to the nations. And just, I watch reactions sometimes of when you're telling a story and I'm looking at somebody else. There were people in church with their mouths open listening to you tell the stories of just, not just missionary stories, but missionary word of God victory.
Yeah. Story. God be the glory.
As you've applied the word of God and how God has sown that word into you from a very young age, and then knowing from age 13 that you were called to the mission field and that you were called to the world to preach the gospel, and that's been your heart's desire ever since. And it's
absolutely
so evident and so obvious that, and you have to understand, sitting here, I'm just so enjoying myself hearing you speak, because just before we started rolling cameras here, we were talking about just how the word flows from you. And that's the way it should be. We should make such deposits of the word of God on the inside that no matter what happens, or as we've heard before, whenever the devil tries to put the squeeze on you, the only thing that comes out is the word of God.
Exactly right.
And the word of God came out of you at a very early age on the mission field in Mexico. You were 24 years old when this took place. And so I want you to tell this, and I want to remind everybody, first of all, that all of these notes are available to you. You can download these notes, and especially yesterday, you talked about the five scriptures that the Lord gave mm-hmm. you. All of these notes are available to you. You can go online, kcm.org, and get them. And then also, we have a free mini book that we want to send to you. All you have to do is request this by Terry Mize, God's Opinion of You. What a magnificent work this is. So we want to sow this into your life. Terry does. But as far as being on the mission field and applying the spiritual principle of authority and dominion, you've got to tell us about what happened in Mexico with the hitchhiker.
Sure. That's an old story, but it's still a good story.
Oh, it's a good one.
Absolutely. And again, you know, George, I just want to say how much I appreciate Kenneth and Gloria in this ministry because, you know, there's no telling. I mean, I'd have been dead a long time ago if I'd have just gone with what I'd learned in church all my life and not heard the word of faith from God directly.
Yeah.
And then Brother Hagin and Brother Copeland come along and preach it. Dear Lord, this is it. And that's what's put us over all these years.
Yep.
And I wouldn't take anything for it.
Me too. I appreciate them too.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're special in my life.
Oh, my. But anyway, we were living in Guadalajara, Mexico as missionaries.
Yeah.
And we had just had our second baby. The doctor said we couldn't have babies, so we just had our second. I did have four. But I left and drove to Houston to pick up an organ and a PA system that someone had given us to our ministry. And so I just ran up there. I mean, it's 1,000 miles. I drove up there
mm-hmm.
and picked it up and drove it back. And it's another testimony about getting it into Mexico. That stuff is illegal to take back to Mexico and certainly back then. But I got into a little town called spent the night and got up early the next morning, gassed my car up, and I'm ready to get home, see my wife and babies, two babies. And grabbed a tape by Kenneth Copeland mm-hmm. on the integrity of the Word of God and just stuck it in the tape player. And so Kenneth,
by the way, that was the very first message that I ever listened to.
Really?
When he sent me all of those tapes at
yeah,
ORU
sure.
when I was
yeah,
there,
yeah.
it was the first message that I listened
wow.
to, the integrity of
that's
the
worth a how many millions of dollars?
Oh,
I mean,
my goodness.
You couldn't put a price on it. You couldn't put a price on it.
So you and I were listening to the same tape.
Absolutely. And so I stuck it in. Kenneth started preaching, and I just got on the highway. And just as I turned on the highway there in Zacatecas to go to Guadalajara, there was a gentleman standing by the side of the road hitchhiking, you know, a Mexican man standing there hitchhiking. And I just thought, well, I'm down here to win people, and so I ought to pick him up and witness to him. And so I just pulled over the side of the road, and he got in the car, and we took off driving. And I'm just thinking in Spanish, but I've witnessed to him in Spanish, so I'm trying to get my Spanish together to say exactly what I want to say.
Mm.
And so I'm just driving along, Kenneth's preaching, and I'm not paying any attention to this guy. So I finally figured out what I wanted to say, and I turned to say it to him. And when I did, he reached in his coat and pulled out a pistol.
Oh, man.
And he cocked the hammer on the pistol, and he reached over and jammed it in my ribs and grabbed my collar with his left hand. So I'm driving the car like this. He's got my collar pulled over like this and got the gun in my ribs. And he screamed at me and said, "I'm going to kill you." He said in Spanish, "Te voy a matar." And it just made me mad. You know, just that righteous indignation just made me mad. And I said to him, I said, "I'm a man of God. I've got authority over you in the name of Jesus. You can't kill me." Well, he didn't understand that. So he poked me at the gun again, yanked on my collar again. He said, "I said, I'm going to kill you." And I said, "I'm a man of God, and I've got authority over you in the name of Jesus. You can't kill me." And so we're just going back and forth like this, and I'm driving, and Kenneth's still preaching. And I just let him preach every time I need to hear the integrity of the Word of God. This is it.
You just let Kenneth keep preaching on.
Good. And so it's ministering to me. And so, you know, I'm praying in tongues. I don't know what to do. 24 years old. And I don't have a clue what to do. I know, use the name, use the blood, use the word, use the covenant, you know, use the Holy Spirit, then do it again. Back in those days, you know, Kenneth would say a lot, it's not a 9-inning ball game, we play till we win.
That's right.
So I just kept doing it, you know, do it again, and you're going to win at some point.
Yep.
And so finally this guy said to me, he said, "What's the matter with you? Aren't you scared? No tienes miedo?" And I said, "No, I'm not scared." I said, all you got the loaded gun. I've got the name of Jesus. Why should I be scared?" And I really literally was not scared. I immediately got scared when he poked me at the gun, but I dealt with that quickly.
Yeah.
But I wasn't scared anymore. And so I just kept telling him what the word said. Now, he didn't understand what I was talking about. I mean, even though I'm speaking Spanish, he had escaped from prison Ilorango, so he wasn't a churchgoer. Mm. He didn't know the word, didn't know anything about the word. And the Bible says the carnal mind is an enemy of God, or is it enmity against God. So yeah. I tell people all the time, you know, the world's not going to know what you're talking about, but that's not your problem. Yeah. You need to talk the word anyway. And so I just kept speaking the word and telling him what the word said. And every time he started telling me what he's going to do, I tell him, you can't do that. I'm a man of God. I've got authority. And it goes back to spiritual authority. And so this just went on back and forth. And I said to the Lord, I said, just out loud in English, I said, Father, Jesus said in Luke 10:19 that he gave me authority over all the power of the enemy and nothing. And I spelled it for God. I don't know why I did, but I spelled it. No thing, N-O-T-H-I-N-G, no thing shall by any means hurt me. And I said, that means this man, his gun, his bullets cannot hurt me. So if he pulls the trigger, I expect you to do something with the bullets. You must do something with the bullets for your covenant's sake, not for my sake, for your covenant's sake, because you're the faithful God that keepeth covenant. You know, so many times we pray the problem, and I didn't tell the Lord, hey, I'm a missionary, you got to help me. He knew that. I didn't tell him, I've got a wife and two babies, you got to help me. He knew that. I just told him what the word said. We put him in remembrance of his word. And so everything he said to me, I answered him with the word, which just made him angry and angry and more angry. I had a couple of microphones laying in the seat between us that went to the PA system. Mm-hmm. And he reached down and picked one of them up, and I said, put that down, it belongs to God. And everything in this car belongs to God, and the car belongs to God, and I belong to God, and you can't have any of it. Well, you know, that made him angry. And so this just went on for a while, and finally he just got so angry at what I was saying to him that he just said, pull off the road, get off the road. So I pulled off into a cornfield on the right side of the road, and mm-hmm. he said, get out. So I got out, and he got out, and we came around the front of the car, and I'm just leaning against the car still. I don't know what to do. I mean, I'm trying to hear from God, you know, and I'm just praying in the Holy Spirit and praying in tongues. And he said, give me your money, give me your watch, give me your jewelry, give me all your stuff, put it on the ground. So I put all that stuff on the ground. I backed up against the car again. He picked it up. He walked up close to me. And when he did, I stuck my finger right up in his face, and I said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And when I did, hit me with that gun barrel, just hit me hard like that, and just knocked me back over the hood of my car, and then put the gun barrel down on my head like this, and just screaming and shaking his left hand like this, saying, and he said, shut up. If you say one more word, I will kill you. And I just pushed myself up off the car and stuck my finger in his face past his gun like this and just stepped into him and said, I said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You can't kill me.
What is that? You can't hurt me in any way. Say that in Spanish. I want to hear that. I rebuke you in the name.
Te reprendo en el nombre de Jesucristo de Nazaret.
Oh, my.
Te reprendo. It sounds better in Spanish sometimes.
It really does, doesn't it?
Every now and then I'm preaching along and I'll get some phrase in the church. And I think that just sounds better in Spanish. I almost did that in your church on Sunday when I got to the part where Peter said, silver and gold have I none, such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Yeah. And he pulled the beggar up in Acts chapter 4. I almost said it in Spanish. It just sounds so much better in Spanish. It just seems like it's got an authoritative ring to it.
And that's what you're doing with this man, that authority.
Sure, absolutely.
Wow.
You always have to take spiritual authority.
Well, continue. Go ahead.
And when I did that, when I just said, I rebuke right past his gun, he just jumped backwards a couple of steps. I mean, we were nose to nose, and now we're as close as you and I are. And he just lowered the gun and shot at me, center mass, 5 times at point blank range. And the bullets didn't hit me.
Point blank range.
Absolutely. And I counted them. You know, it's crazy the things your mind does in a crisis.
Sure.
You know, my spirit's operating here. Right. My mind's going up here saying, this is nuts, you know. And I remember thinking in my mind, I'm counting the shots. I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. In my brain, I'm thinking, if he gets to 6, if he empties his gun, I'm going to hit him. You know, it's like God's doing a miracle.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I'm going to.
Yeah.
So anyway, he stopped at 5.
Yeah.
And he just stopped and looked at me, and I looked at him. And I think we're both trying to figure out what happened. And we're just both just kind of staring at each other, you know, like this. And he backs up a little bit, reaches in his pocket, and reloads his gun. And I just stood there just like trying to hear from God. And, of course, everything's happening so fast.
Sure, sure.
And so he said, start walking. So we walked off out in the cornfield a long way, maybe 7,500 yards. It was a long way. I don't remember the exact distance, but it was a good long way from the car. We got out in the cornfield, and he said, take your clothes off. And so I took off all my clothes, set my socks and my underwear, and he picked up my shoes, my clothes, and all my stuff, and he said, stay here, don't move. And he turned around and walked away with the intention of getting in my car and leaving.
Yeah.
And I'm standing there. John Osteen used to say, and there was Terry Mize, God's man of faith and power, in a cornfield in Mexico in his underwear. And he loved this story. He told it all the time.
Story.
He even wrote it in one of his books, you know. But but anyway, he was walking away, and I just said, Lord, you just did a miracle, and he couldn't kill me, and I appreciate that. but he can no more rob me than he can kill me. It's not right to rob the man of God. You can't. This isn't right. And I'm just, I think I was waiting for God to do something. I was waiting for a lightning bolt or something. I don't know what I was waiting for, but I just said, Lord, this, he can't rob me. It's not right. He can't. And so he's walking almost to my car by this time. And so I just cut my hands like this, and I said, I charge you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, come back. And he just never broke his stride, George. He just turned around like this, walked all the way back out to where I was, threw my clothes at me. He said, put them on. So I slipped my pants and my shirt and my shoes back on. And he said, now, what is it you want to talk to me about? And I said, I don't want to talk to you about anything else. You found out I'm a man of God. You can't kill me. You can't rob me. And I said, now, I'm going home. I said, we're not going to do this anymore. And I said, if you want to go home with me, in Spanish they have a saying that says, my house is your house, mi casa es su casa. And I said, if you want to go home with me, mi casa es su casa, I said, I've got a wife and two babies there. You can't take your gun. You have to put your gun away. But I'll take you home with me and help you any way I can. And he just stuck his gun in his belt, and he said, you know I like you. And we just walked back to the car together, and he said, I'm going to put my confidence in you. We got to the car, and he pulled his gun back out and stuck it in my belly, and he said, you sit back in the back, and I'm going to drive. And I said, no, I told you I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going home. And I said, you can go home with me. You can stay here, but we're not doing this anymore. And I've got authority over you in the name of Jesus. Now give me my keys in Jesus' name. And he held my hand out. And he just put my car keys in my hand. And so I walked around to my side of the car, and I said, you go on. So he got in on that side, and we took off down the highway, and I ended up doing what I intended to do, telling him about Jesus.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So anyway, it's just a marvelous, marvelous miracle.
And you got
and
to the place where he had that choice to go with you. He decided not to go with you.
Right. Yeah. He finally asked me as we were driving to Guadalajara if I'd take him up in the mountains where he had friends. And I took him up the mountain a little ways on a dirt road. I don't know how far. I didn't watch the odometer. And I didn't have my watch. I'd given it to him. And so, finally, I said, look, I'm going to go home. I just stopped the car and said, I've got to go home. I don't have enough gas to get home. And I said, we're not going to go any further. I said, you can go home with me or you can get out. And he said, no, I'll get out. And I said, well, all right, hang on a second. Let me give you a couple of things. So I dug around the back and a couple of things. I was bringing Jackie back home, like a blow dryer. So I knew he could sell the electrical stuff you could sell back
right,
in those days
right.
for a good little price of money. And so so I gave him that stuff. And when I did, he just pulled my jewelry and my wallet and my stuff out and just handed it back to me like that. And I said, no, you can have that stuff. And he said, you're giving it to me? I said, well, you can't rob me. I said, I'll give you most anything I got, but you can't rob me. And I said, I'll tell you what, give me back my wedding ring. Give me back my wallet with my driver's license and my pictures of my wife and kids in it, and you can have the jewelry and the rest of the stuff. And I said, now I want to pray for you. And I said, the Bible says lay hands on people, so I'm going to put my hand on your head. So he said, okay. And he pulled his gun out and stuck it in my belly, and I laid my hands on him and prayed for him. When I got through praying for him, he said, you know, my mother's sick. And I said, well, let's pray for her. So he put the gun back in my belly, and I put my hand on his head and prayed for him. Told him where he could find me anytime he wanted to find me, you know, where we were preaching at a hotel in there in Guadalajara. And left him there. And that night, the bottom line of this all, that night I was at home with my wife and my babies. And this guy was up in the mountains of Mexico wondering what happened with a gun. And what happened was the tape Kenneth was preaching was the integrity of the Word of God.
So that, I'm thinking about why you did all of that. It had to be because the Word was in there.
Oh, absolutely.
It was in there in abundance.
Absolutely. It was in there, and I'm listening to Kenneth preach. You know, I mean, the Word's going, the Word's in here, the Word's coming in here. And, you know, to me, the reason we do the Word, George, is because it works.
Yeah.
I mean, if something else would have worked, you know, you'd do something else, but nothing else would have worked.
Terry, you really have a revelation, particularly for the work that you do in other nations of the dominion. You have to.
Oh, absolutely.
You have to.
I don't know how you'd make it without it.
You really do have to do that to the places that you go. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have to do that here.
Oh, absolutely.
In this day and hour?
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. We need to be tanked up in the Word of God.
Oh, absolutely.
To the place that we take our dominion, we take our authority, and we're ready to do that at any time.
No, and it needs to be just a truth that we live in and understand.
Yeah.
It's like my book, More Than Conquerors, you know, that story's in there. And for years, I've just given that away to police officers, anybody I thought would be in harm's way, just giving it away to them. I've gotten some testimonies back from them, and the parents of teenagers. And in today's society, where people are doing drive-by shootings and school shootings and stuff, I think it's more vital than ever before.
It is.
That these kids get full of the Word of God and
it is.
An understanding of the Word of God.
So if you could, we've just got 5 minutes left on this, to summarize spiritually what took place and what happened, how can our folks operate in this same kind of authority and dominion that you did while you were out there at that time in Mexico? What do they need to do?
You know, I think it's just an input of the Word of God. You know, Brother Copeland used to tell us that Jesus said that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And he said, so, you know, when you get under pressure, the thing that's in your heart is going to squirt out. And so it's imperative for us to put the Word in there. And, you know, years ago, I was at the beach. I think I was a teenager, and I was at the beach, and somebody handed me a bottle of suntan lotion. And for some reason, I turned it over and looked at the directions, you know. And it said this. It said, apply 20 minutes before entering the sun. And when I read that, the Lord said, that's the same way my Word is. You need to apply it before you need it. And I think that's exactly the answer to the question. And we need to just put the word. And then whenever we get into crisis, that's the thing that squirts out. That's the thing that comes out is what's in our heart in abundance. And then understanding that the Word's truth. Jesus said, Father, thy Word is truth.
Yeah.
So this trumps everything else.
So how would you tell them,
everything else.
For people that might not know or maybe new to this, when you talk about input the Word, how do you do that?
Well, you know, for me, it was just reading the Word and then listening to tapes and reading good books. I almost didn't listen to anybody except Brother Hagin and Brother Copeland. Of course, in those days, there weren't a lot of people to listen to, you know, and then Brother Osteen.
Right.
You know, we lived in Midland, Texas. I'd drive down to Houston an hour to hear John Osteen, you know, preach a message.
Sure.
Because you're just thirsty. You're hungry.
Yeah.
And I think it's like you and I were talking about yesterday at lunch or something, that we just the hunger that we had, where you're just digging and scraping and just getting the Word all the time.
Yes.
And I just don't see that today. And yet I believe that hunger is coming back.
It's coming back.
I'm excited about that meeting you said that Kenneth's about to preach on the basics of faith.
Yep.
Oh, that's going to be powerful.
24,
because that's
25,
how you get that input into. You go back to those basics.
Go back to the basics.
Those same scriptures that we used back to get started, that Kenneth used to get started, that you used to get started, that I used to get started. Those same scriptures, here we are all these years later, those are the ones we go back to when we need them.
If I were to look back, this is my 40th year with Kenneth Copeland Ministries, 41 knowing them before I even came here to work. And I think if I could summarize what I've learned through them is how to stand on the Word of God.
Absolutely.
How to operate in that authority, in that dominion. Take our authority over whatever it is, sickness, disease, lack, whatever the curse might be.
Yeah. Everything.
To take my dominion and my authority over that. And I was looking at the scripture as you were talking in Genesis 1:26.
I almost just quoted that just now.
God, well, go ahead.
Well, okay. I just think you're right. God said, let us make man in our likeness, in our image, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the cattle of the field, and over all the earth. So we're talking weather, we're talking armies, pestilence, plague, we're talking recession, inflation, we're talking everything.
Yes.
He said, and over all the earth, and ever creeping thing that creeps on the earth.
Right.
So as it's been said before I came around, you know, we have dominion over creeps.
Right. We sure do. And the guy in Mexico was kind of a creep.
Well, there you go.
And you had dominion and authority. I believe what the Lord wants us to do in the last 2 days of this week, I'd like you to do some teaching on spiritual authority.
Great.
That's what you really focused on. We need to hear that. We need to hear, and if there's a way to bring some of the stories into it, I'm thinking about the one to Zimbabwe and calling for rain.
Sure.
And to sort of intertwine that, because I think that we all need a refresher course constantly in our place in Christ Jesus. The dominion, the authority that we have on this earth. You know, I was sharing that story with you about being in Guatemala. How much time do we have? 1 minute. Whoa. In Guatemala. And we were with Jim Zirkle.
Sure.
We were traveling from his headquarters to a little town to preach. We were stopped by communist guerrillas on the way. They ordered us to get out of the car. Then behind us came military workers. And then we were in the middle of a firefight. And all of a sudden, we're on the ground, and somebody starts praying in tongues. And we all go, oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
Right.
Well, that was my Terry, that she started praying in tongues. And
because
we started,
it squirted out.
We started praying in tongues, and we take authority over this. And within a 10-minute period, it was over. The communist guerrillas ran up into the jungle. The Guatemalan military drove by, and then we took off. And Psalm 91.
Yes, sir.
Has never been
as
powerful as it was that day, and it still is in our lives.
1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 your right hand, it'll not.
Oh man! And when we were headed back, I told you that out of a military base, tanks were going the other way to chase them down. I'll tell you what a time we live in. What a time that we've had this week thus far in these broadcasts. And if you have not...
All right. Now, thank God for these stories. Now, throughout the last week, I have been playing little excerpts of this, and about 10 minutes at a time, and just having Brother Terry tell these stories. Because if we can, as soon as we get these stories and the Word of God in there side by side, we begin to create stories in our own life. All of us have stories just like he's telling, but because of the lack of rehearsal of those stories, we've forgotten many of them. If you've been a believer for very many days, weeks, months, or years, God has made an amazing group of events happen for you in one way or another. Even right here in the community of faith, we have many stories of different things that God has done, which is why Sister Leanne started the miracle page and tell the story of God's blessing to you. Because as things happen, we want to write them down. We want to rehearse them. We want to remember them so that we don't let these things slip and we keep functioning in this level of spiritual authority. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, I'm not on the mission field. You don't have to be. You might say, I'm not a mighty man of faith like Brother Terry was. Well, just remember, his first mission trip, he almost died. Lost 50 pounds of weight because he was so sick. But that doesn't take away the fact that he was a man of faith and that he was believing God every day for the mighty things of God. Now, what I want to do for the next couple of minutes, probably about 15 minutes, I want us to talk about those five scriptures that God gave to Brother Terry and how they affect you. The greatest thing you'll ever do is not hear me preach. The greatest thing you're ever going to do is look in this book, find some word, find out what it means to you, and then pull these words off the pages of God's holy word. Pull the word and then begin to get it working in your life. You might say, Pastor, you seem to have it all working. No, I don't have it all working. There's a lot I don't understand yet. But I know this. God will never change his word. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because he is the same, you and I can count on that. All right, Kathy. This is what I want to say to you about that situation. The result of that situation that we see with our eyes goes against what I believe and what I spoke. Now, I didn't know if you was going to get here, and I'll get to the five verses, but I want to read this verse of scripture. 1 John chapter 5. It's what we know. Regardless of what circumstantial evidence is, this is what we know. Nothing changes God's holy word. And I spoke that word that I had power over all the power of the devil, that by the power and the name of Jesus that's in me, it was changing that situation in Joey. By his stripes, by the stripes of Jesus, Joey's healed. And we have power over all the power of the devil, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. Now, I just heard Brother Terry Mize say, the bottom line in every situation that you're in, you speak the word, you speak the name, you speak the blood of Jesus, you speak the covenant, you tell it to God, you tell it to the devil, you tell it to yourself, You speak the word, you speak the name, you speak the blood, you speak the covenant. You tell it to God that you know it. You tell it, remind the enemy, I know it. You say it to yourself to build faith. Now, it would be different if I was telling you something from somebody that never made it work. But we're going to hear it in one of these stories in the next day or so. The Brother Terry carried a baby around for 13 hours that was dead. And at the end, the baby came back to life after it had been dead for 15 hours. Doing what I just said to you. Ready? Let's read. This is the confidence that we have in him. Say this with me. I am confident in Jesus. This is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know, and since we know he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of him. Now, you might say, yeah, but Pastor, how do I know God has heard me? You seem to know that God heard you. Well, if it's in this book and you and I can quote it, then we know God has heard us. This is the confidence. If you can find it in the Word of God and you will learn it and memorize it and grow into it, then you will have the petition that we ask. Now, I couldn't believe how he was looking at you. He doesn't do that usually. The only other person he'd look on a phone was my mom. I was taking authority over that situation. And as I said to you, that's my first time of in a live situation like that, functioning from that point of view. So that was all new to me, but this is what we know. You saying that, Kathy? There was an authority in the realm of the spirit that he recognized. Now, the demonic spirit, we've already bound it. We've already called healing in all of his body, cell, tissues, joints, everything. We know we have the petition that we ask. So we know this is done. Now, we hold on to our faith from amen to there it is. And here's the confidence of these verses. Everybody read it right out loud. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, God, that if we ask anything according to his will, is it God's will to heal Joey? Yes, it is. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. He, God, hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. We know it. Now, you might say, I don't know if I do know that, Pastor. Well, did you just read that verse? Can you see that the Apostle John said, if it matches the will of God, we know we have it? Yes, we did. Well, let's grab another verse then. Because see, what we're coming to, guys, is we're coming to this revelation that we can sound like the church, we can act like the church, we can look like the church, and all that stuff. But if we don't know what God's word says, then what are we going to become? We're going to become the church and not the word of God. Now, let me copy these two verses here. Everybody holding on just a second. Does anybody know where my notes are? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. There it is right there. Those are my notes. They're in the wrong spot. Now, let me copy this verse. And I want you to get this. Everybody. This is Isaiah 53, verse 5. Isaiah 53, verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Isaiah 53, verse 5. You'll see this now in 1 Peter 2, 24. Same verse. God Almighty, in the Old Testament, prophesied through Isaiah. Peter now is saying this is the case. Watch. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed. Are healed and were healed. When were you healed? At the cross, when Jesus took the stripes. When Jesus bowed his head and said, it's finished. It's all done. And you were healed. Let's look at another healing verse. Ready? Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. You got to get this one in me. No. No. This is Acts chapter 3, verse 16. It'll be all right. We're learning this stuff, guys. We've been sitting here in this, in our houses, and we've been growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Jesus, Savior Jesus Christ. And God's been putting all this word in us. And now we've got to be able to take this word and go out into the street and make it work in our lives. All right? Because that's the answer from God. Hold on just a second. I'm putting this in for YouTube. Got to get it down under 200. There it is. Acts 3:16. Thank you, Sunday. Appreciate it. I'm going to add the verse right here. No. I'm going to add the verse. What happened to my verse? My verse was not. There it is. There it is. And his name, Jesus' name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. Everybody say it with me. In the name of Jesus. Everybody just say it right out loud. We're going to pray for Joey. I believe in your name, Jesus. And I say in the name of Jesus, Joey and Dane and Rivers are made whole. Now, in Jesus' name. The faith which comes through him has given this man, Joey, Dane, and Rivers, perfect soundness in the presence of us all. His name, through faith in his name. Just say it with me. I believe in you, Jesus. I believe in you, Jesus. I want to encourage you right now today. Remember what Brother Terry just said. When he began this thing, he went to Panama, to the jungles, and almost died because he didn't know how to appropriate God's word. That means read it on the page, grab a hold of it, and then put it into effect in his life. That man who just told you the story of being shot point blank 5 times, and it didn't touch him. His first missionary trip couldn't get rid of malaria and dysentery. But here's the revelation. By taking this word and meditating in it day and night, you meditate it, you meditate it, you meditate it, and this thing has to come to pass. Today and every day I have ever prayed for Joey, Dane, Rivers, Michael, anybody with autism. Well, Brother Roger's nephew. What is his name again, Roger? Why am I having trouble with that? Brother Roger?
Nope. His name's Paul.
Paul, thank you. I wrote it down because I keep going over it. Now, I don't know why God's brought to us the ability to see autism destroyed. Hey, might as well be known for something and see people's lives changed forever. You and I can see what Jesus did, and we're doing it, and again, ourselves, and beginning to put it to pass. Now, I want to encourage every one of you. All right? I want to encourage every one of you. This is a mission that's close to our hearts because Dane is Sunday's grandson. Joey is Kathy's son. Paul is Brother Roger's nephew. Rivers is a good friend of mine who's actually on one of my blog talk radios, and he preaches Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday on there. And then, of course, Michael, that's Sister Francetta's grandson, and our prayer has already changed that situation for him. It's already done. And this is what we know. In the realm of the Spirit, it's already done for every one of these people. Now, I want to say this about Rivers. Not only are we praying and seeing autism removed, but his eyesight is blind, and his ears are deaf except for a cochlear implant. And I want all of you to say it with me right now. Say, I want you to pray this prayer. What we're doing right now is I'm giving you an M16 just like they gave Roger in the military. But they didn't give him a clip full of, a magazine full of bullets first because nobody wanted to get killed. All right? And what I'm doing is God is teaching you and I how to do this. You ready? Say it with me. Dane, Michael, Paul, and Joey.
Dane, Michael, Paul, and Joey.
Rivers and everyone else.
Rivers and everyone else.
Be made whole.
Be made whole.
By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Jesus said, whatever I bind on earth.
Said, whatever I bind on earth.
is bound in heaven.
Is bound in heaven.
Autism, you are bound.
Autism, you are bound.
Blindness and deafness, you are bound.
Blindness and deafness, you are bound.
I can feel that anointing rising up in me right now. I can feel it. Go ahead, say it. I feel the anointing rising up in me.
Feel the anointing rising up.
Woo! And I lose perfect health.
I lose perfect health.
Into these five men.
Into these five men.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
I declare in this situation.
I declare in this situation.
Jesus is the same.
Jesus is the same.
From creation.
From creation.
His time on this earth.
His time on this earth.
And living in me right now.
Living in me right now.
I know Jesus.
I know Jesus.
You have heard my prayer.
You have heard my prayer.
And I have the petition that I ask.
I have the petition I ask.
And I thank you for it.
I thank you for it.
And I will become bolder still.
And I will become bolder still.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And amen. Go ahead.
The great
amen. And amen. And amen. Now, this is what I want you to know. You can go back and you can hear that prayer again. Hold on. Let me write that down. That prayer happened at 1:42 on YouTube. You can go back and hear it again there. Write it down and pray it. Or hear it. And realize God's going to lead you in a prayer every time you're in one of these situations. All of this word that we have placed in your life throughout these last 2 years have been training you and I for this day where we'll look in these situations and command them to change. We did it when we were in Michigan with Brother Michael, and his life transformed immediately. Absolutely immediately. Matter of fact, he got his job. He's driving his car. He's got his license. Living at grandma's. God is doing a mighty work in his life by the prayers of the saints right here. All right? Ready? We're praying for Joey right now. I want to pray in the spirit for a minute. Everybody just stay with us. Kathy just got a message. He's still awake and yelling. Now, ready? Let's pray. Shendo kala sita manabu. Endo sambranda kiliba da kamanistika. Brother Dan, I believe you have a prayer for this. As soon as I started praying in the Holy Spirit, I believe just be led by the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you're anywhere near your truck or anywhere where you can talk. So if you can, just click it on and say something, and I'll be quiet. Shandelese makata rendini suma la bande limanaka. Andole sandaba varikisto prada beninistimata. Endola sinemanda kipavadista kinedumata. Andestenda lode vebadistike. Ando stomba ralideke. Onde lamanasuteka. We speak into the situation right now. Onde la sambone ma, ando resta cavalende ma, omba stende veda calata, ombra naside ve la masutica. We prophesy the heaven by the heavenly prayer language into this situation right now. Se bosta en la stonde le varimakata. Endo maste vidodica. Anronoshe en dandela abadavite. Ambrosola condista abadidanda lushika. En anonde ambrasolodeba en denda kasidikata. In the mighty name of Jesus, peace Be still now. Shapakadiyuta. And Joey spirit. Troubling spirit. Get out of his room. Your grip has been released from his body. You cannot come back and function near him anymore. According to God's holy word, the words of the saints that we just spoke, the word of God that we are standing in, as an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven, as a minister of reconciliation, as a king and a priest unto God, by the power of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of me, in the name of Jesus, we speak peace. Peace, be still. Shonde kala restonim. Etando blasife te karata. Enondeba adi bastule andrestunokova. En a malanda o de bastife de kata. En a mashonde ke. Ela stronde de kinema. Onde sadibale bandidica. Enda rala senando. Namunde. Ande custody bafata. Onde lamba sendandava. Endo soke lativa. En amando she kelaratima. Maybe you don't have your heavenly prayer language yet. Right now, while we're praying this, isn't that interesting? Right now, while we're praying this, I encourage you to say, Father, I want my heavenly prayer language. And then receive the Holy Spirit and begin to pray in your heavenly prayer language. Shando la castendo macabata. Endo malasidivide, endo brande beverisica, astandaluvede barasakina mundica, endo bravada sile, ande de ma varabasitica, endo lamana devene, ando balabasitica, in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, everybody just stick with me for a second here. I just saw this in the realm of the spirit while we're praying. Ready? I'm going to just... play this music in the background. This music is from a Holy Spirit flow. I'm going to put it in the background. It's going to seem a little different to you, but it'd be all right. What are we doing? We are doing what this book says and seeing an answer for Matt and Kathy and Joey. Shonde la sunikama de kalava. Endo manasandrandi. En anondesha. Kalabadifede kandesa. En amondeka. Andale basibede bandica. Amanunde le vade batissimo. Let's let the peace of God that's on this recording fill this place. Onde la masite che di bonde vade. En amalonde vade basite che di mande. You might say, Pastor, I've never done anything like this. I haven't either. This is what I know. Our sister has faith, and you and I have faith. Let's let the Holy Spirit minister. If you have a prayer, type it in. Or you can speak it. Shamanakalibani manda matupati. En amandaloni masitiki. Kanamashunde lebati vidikatuma. Ombanda lesen benegede banatuma. Ando lasyon makate vidibede. And no longer then. And amade vesitika. Peace into Joey's room right now. Peace into Joey's room right now. Bowel, move now in the name of Jesus. Peace fills Joey's room now. The enemy no longer able to touch him. You might say, Pastor, this is so weird to me. No, it's not weird. You've just never seen it. This has been going on since the day of Pentecost with Peter, James, and John all around the world. This first time. You're just now finding out about it. I give you glory. I give you glory. In the mighty name of Jesus. Sadibutika. Ande lamanisivine. Just lift your hands and say, I receive my part of this assignment. Onde lasende de babadika de strana kula manavidi datamasi. Ande monde lam. Lead us, Holy Spirit. Lead us, Holy Spirit. Lead us, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your leadership. Unde lama niste pete kabade monoshu kide ande. Ande le manesite kide munde. Ande munde la ba. E shatande le manakiti munde. E ne mule mande David e basse bide kite munde. Amanesite le kate munde. If I just let this worship music fill your life. Oni mashi liba na kuta. Amanonde leba dike. We're going to receive communion in just a few minutes. But we're dealing with this situation today. What do you need tonight? Post it in. Show the balakita. Show this peace into Joey's life. Why would you play that music from somewhere else? Because I can get away with playing that music because that's a hymn, and it's played from a place that won't copyright it, and nobody can stop it because it's public domain. How you like that? Holy Spirit just showed that to me. Now, we speak peace there. This is what I know, Kathy. This is what we know. Today, God adjusted this whole thing in the realm of the spirit. And the physical manifestation of the spiritual operation is happening right now. He can't fail his word. It's his word. When we, his children, his sons and daughters, the body of Christ, those he sent to preach the gospel, lay hands on the sick, and you laid hands on him today. Pray the prayer of faith. I prayed the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith will save the sick. And if he's committed any sins, they'll be forgiven. Of course, Joey's not. He's not of that. He's not been of that place where he would even be able to understand it. When they came to Jesus, they said, who sinned, the boy or his parents? And Jesus said, neither. This isn't about sin. This is about the evil of our enemy in this day on this earth. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's lift our hands to the Father one more time. Father, we worship you. We glorify your mighty name. We magnify your mighty name. You are the same. Yesterday, Peter and John at the temple saying, what I have, I give you in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. You're the same, Jesus, when you stood there and said, deaf and dumb spirit, come out of him. We already said it today. And that spirit has come up. And now peace fills his heart, fills Dane's heart, fills Paul's heart, Joey's heart, Rivers, fills their being. Not calms it, not pacifies it. Spirit removed. I rebuke you. Get out. Now, peace of God fills their lives. And we thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. And we know this, guys. Jesus said in John 14, these things and greater will you do in my name because I go to my Father. Those are Jesus' words. John 14, 12. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do. And the centurion said, you don't have to come to the building where my servant is. Just speak the word. We have spoken the word of God. Father never fails his word. It comes to pass. It comes to pass. His word manifests now for you and me in the mighty name of Jesus. 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 Peace, because the evil spirit is gone. Peace, because soundness of mind has come. Peace, as Sister Donna wrote earlier, clothed and in his right mind. seated at the feet of Jesus. No religion, no religiosity, no religious spirit stopping the work of God. We speak this now in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. And amen. And amen. And amen. Brother Roger, you got a big amen?
The great amen.
The great amen. The great amen. It's the great I am, amen. I like that one. I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me. What's the reward of faith? Miracles. What's the reward of believing? Signs, wonders, and miracles happen in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Just don't know if you got this in my text. Got to call or text my cousin who's got anger issues and an alcoholic. Just text me back. He's alcohol free.
Come on.
Prayer works.
Prayer works. Jesus called this a healing room, and that is what it is. You come here, you can receive healing in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Well, here we go. Are you ready? Let's receive our communion elements together tonight. First Corinthians chapter 11 is where we go for our verse. I actually got myself prepared. Now, Brother Terry's preaching about spiritual authority. And remember, in all situations of spiritual authority, can you get it? Wait, do you have it? In her situation, yes, she does. She's mama. Can she keep it? Nobody can take it away from her. Does she have it? Can she get it? She's already got it. And then can she keep it? And yes, nobody can take a spiritual authority away from Matt and Kathy in that situation. You and I, praying for some of the people that we're praying for, you might not have spiritual authority in their life. And if you don't, then you got to pray for God to send a laborer across their path that can plant the word. You and I have sown the word tonight into this situation, and it's done. Everybody say it. It is done. Matter of fact, if you want to get real bold, just type it in. It is done. I don't care whether they like my comment or not. I'm going to make it anyways. It is done. It is done. It is done. First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, Jesus is saying to Paul, it is done. Amen. Thank you, Kathy. Thank you, Sunday. Verse 22, for I received from the Lord. Wow. The first night we met Kathy, she questioned me about my solo cup. It was awesome. And here we are again tonight, Kathy. All these months later, over a year now, and we're back to that same communion point. And you know what? It is done. It is done. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often, verse 26, as you eat this bread, and as often as you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work until he comes. Let a man, verse 28, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. You got to examine yourself. And then it says, let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, 1 John chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. So are we in this world. Perfect love casts out fear and the torment that goes with it. We're not only living, we're thriving. We're not just existing, we're thriving in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, maybe you're new to our program. Every night we receive communion together. Make sure you click like or love on the platform that you're on so that we know who you are and we have the ability to pray for you by name. What we're going to do is we're going to receive these elements in a minute. Right now, I'm going to lead you in the prayer of salvation. Because according to verse 28, amen, Kathy, we are free. According to verse 28, you got to examine yourself. What's that mean? Between you and God, come to the understanding of where I am. Let a man examine himself. And the greatest thing you can do when you examine yourself is say, I need you, Lord. That makes you worthy to receive these elements. I need you, Lord. And you're worthy. If you're a sinner, we're going to lead you in the prayer of salvation. If you're backslidden and you're coming back to God, we're going to lead you in the prayer of rededication. It's all the same prayer. If you're a believer and you're this first time you're hearing this and you're like, man, this is amazing, we're going to lead you into prayer and you pray it with us. And for you and I, it's hallelujah. I'm already there. Thank you, Jesus. It's working. Ready? Pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I know I need you in my life every day. Those of you on Zoom can pray this with me if you'd like. And according to John 3:16, when I believe in you, you give me everlasting life, and I will not perish. And I thank you for it. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day for me.
and you rose again on the third day for me.
Open up your arms and just say it. I receive you into my life right now, Jesus.
I receive you into my life right now.
All of your love.
All of your love.
All of your mercy.
All of your mercy.
All of your grace.
All of your grace.
All of your righteousness.
All of your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
Life.
As a believer every day.
Every day.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen and amen and amen. Now, you might say, wow, I'm sure you are saying, wow, Pastor. Something's happening on the inside of me. Yeah, what it is Jesus, the light of the world, just came and lived on the inside of you right there. I say the same thing every night, but it's what happens to the new people every night, and it's what happens to all of us every night. I am experiencing right now God filling every part of my life right now. I've been at this, as I say, for 47 years, and I experience that newness of God inside of me every time. Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, just came to live on the inside of you right now. So you have faith, and you have Jesus, and you have light, and you have life. You said all of your love, all of your mercy, all of your grace, and all of your righteousness. We led you in it. Guess what happened? He just filled you with all that stuff. All of those wonderful works, not stuff. Forgive that stupid English. He just filled you. Now all of that is working in you. Now you have his righteousness, to confront sin with. And guess what? His righteousness is free. Will never fail you. Your righteousness, that may come and go. Who knows? But you have been made into the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You got a whole new nature. You're not that person anymore. And that just happened right there in that 60 seconds. Father looked down and said, adopt them into the family. You are now an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus, and you're walking with him every single day. We're going to be here to help you. Send me an email. Send me a text, a message that says, Pastor, I just prayed that prayer, and I want to walk with God, and I will send you videos to help you come to the understanding of the ministry of reconciliation, redemption, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, the righteousness of faith, and what this Christian life is all about. Then you just get in this book, begin to read it. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. And then start all over and do it again. Why? Because it'll fill your life with his word. And his word cannot fail. Here we go. We're going to receive the communion elements now. Get you some bread. Get you some grape juice. Bread and water, whatever you got. Thank you, Jesus, for this great victory tonight. Wow. Thank you for this great victory tonight. Glory be to your name. Ready? Your first act as a believer is to receive communion. Brother Roger, Brother Dan, Sister Sunday, if you guys would come on and pray this with me, I would really appreciate that. Makes it flow that much better. Here we go. Father, in the name of Jesus. I bless and sanctify these elements. For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression. You were bruised. For my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace.
the chastisement for my peace.
Is upon you, Lord.
It's upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes.
And by your
stripes.
I am healed. Say it again. I am healed.
I am healed.
Woo! In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body. In my mind, my will, and my emotions. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Every joint supplying.
Every joint
in my body. From your broken body, Jesus. In the body of Christ. In my community. And right here in this community of faith. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Let's receive his broken body together. We give you glory. That your broken body gives life to me and to all of my family. In Jesus' mighty name. Ready? Now we receive the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Say this with me, by the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation
with you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus. Every sin is placed in remission. In my life forever. I am a new creation. Old things have passed away. And all things have become new.
And all things have become new.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I come boldly to the throne room of grace. Where I find grace, mercy, and help. For my assignment every day. By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony,
I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass over and cannot be near
my family.
My conscience is purged.
My
robes are made white.
And I will always be
the glorious church. Without spot or wrinkle. When you come for me. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's receive the juice together. Thank you, guys, for praying with me in Jesus' mighty name. And now, I want to sing our song. Oh, how I love you, Jesus. Oh, how I love you, Jesus. Oh, how Jesus, because you first loved me, there is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ears, the sweetest name on earth. Jesus, because you first loved me. What a night. For those of you that are new to us, that'll listen to this someday in the future, tomorrow night, which will be whatever, it'll be the program for May 19th, 2022. We're going to finish up Brother Terry's messages on spiritual authority. Well, that's whatever that is left in that video. You can go to the internet and find all kinds of them. Like Phyllis said, she listened to the same video three times already today. It's a powerful video. Listen, we don't just listen to messages. We listen, take notes, and apply. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word, and then we take that word and we go do, which is what we're doing right now tonight with our dear sister Kathy and Matt and Joey. Joey's free. Everybody say it. Joey is free. Joey is free. Dane is free. Michael is free. Paul is free. Rivers is free. Brother Rogers' cousin and friend and whatever they were, they're free. All y'all are free because whom the sun sets free is free indeed. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Here we go. Our closing verses. And I'll just keep preaching, I guarantee it. But you, beloved, Jude, verses 20 through 25, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. On some having compassion, making a distinction, but others pulling them, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments defiled by the flesh. Watch this. Verse 24 and 25. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen and amen.
Amen.
And amen. Well, guys, there it is. Another night in the books. Walking out what we believe. Living it right out in public where everybody can see it. Walking in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Well, I'll just stay on here and keep talking, so I'm not going to do that. I call you blessed. Remember this. According to Mark chapter 10, tonight you helped me preach the gospel to 38 nations of the world and to everybody who's right here in America. And Jesus said, surely I say to you, everyone who has left house or brother, sister, mother, father, wife, children, lands, for my sake and the gospel. Tonight you were here for the gospel's sake. Tonight you were here for our dear friend Kathy Angaroni's sake and Matt and Joey and all of these that are now free from autism. Look at what it says. You will receive 100-fold now. And this time for sowing your life into this kingdom. What did I sow, Pastor? You sowed your time, your talent, and your treasure. If tonight God spoke to you to sow a seed to Brother Terry's ministry, you can send it in there and say, Pastor, I want to sow this seed. I'll put it all together and we'll send Brother Terry a check and say, hey, the community of faith wants to sow a seed. We studied your messages and here's a seed. We'll sow it to you. And I that thought that just came to me by the Holy Spirit. If that's something that you want to do in Jesus' mighty name. Jesus said, 100-fold return now in this lifetime and in the age to come, eternal life. Persecution is going to happen. That just proves you're like Jesus. That's all that is. Go through the fire, you won't be burned. Walk through the wire, you won't drown. No matter what they say, you can condemn their words. You've already judged yourself. No weapon that's formed against us can prosper. Stand in faith, and we'll be with you in Jesus' mighty name. Until we see you again, this is what we say. We love you, and God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. All right, Kathy, make sure you keep my number, because anytime you're dealing with us, I'm not making that statement. This is done. It's done. Jesus never told anybody, anytime you're dealing with this, call me on the phone. No, he said it, and it's done, and it's over. In Jesus' mighty name. See that old religious training that just came out of me? No. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. I rebuke it. You guys are watching me grow. Thank you for standing beside me. I love every one of you. In Jesus' name. All right, got to run. See you tomorrow at noon for noon prayer. In Jesus' name. Good night, Roger. Love you, man. Amen.
Good night, Jesse.
Done. Thanks for holding down the fort over there on the left wing. Or the right wing. Don't be on the left wing, brother.
Love you, brother. And everybody that's there.
All right. Here we go.